In 1901, a woman by the name of Annie Taylor climbed into a barrel so that she could ride that barrel over Niagara Falls, the first person to do so. The reason for her crazy endeavor? She was struggling to make ends meet, and she was hoping for fame and financial security. It's Ryan from United Faith Mortgage, a faith and family mortgage team that tries to improve your financial outlook without having to ship you over a 170-foot waterfall. Our mortgage team happens to be an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls. There's no middleman. This advantage often allows us to get you a better rate, which can save you monthly and lifelong money through a refinance, or help you with a cash-out refinance, cashing out some of your home's equity to use for life. We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp., 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Corporate NMLS number 1330. Equal housing lender. Not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Utah.
Tom is off, and Penny Patton is here with us today. And I just wanted to just do a quick follow-up on the question, the trivia question we had a few minutes ago. It was about the 3 days and three nights that Jesus was in the tomb. And we are on the, well, we are leaning on the persuasion of the Jewish counting a partial day as a whole day and night. Want to acknowledge, because we got lots of calls and texts after that, other possibilities for that, that was more than just simply that maybe it was on a Thursday, but that there could have been two Sabbaths, two holy days during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is Passover. So this is something we will explore later with Dr. Michael Rydelnik.
That sounds great.
Something we can really dive into, because it is well above my pay grade. And thank you so much for the information, because this is a question a lot of people have, and a lot of people choose not to believe because they say that doesn't make sense. That's not true from where I'm looking at it. But there is an explanation, and so we can just continue studying and opening that up, and God will reveal that. We are sure of that.
Amen.
So thank you for the conversation. Hey, today we do know is known for being Spy Wednesday. And we wanted to talk about this day in terms of where we are personally with Christ, because this is the day when Judas decided he would betray Jesus and made some arrangements to do that. And we were talking about this off air, Penny and I, about ways that, you know, we look at Judas and we think, wow, what a horrible thing he did, and it was. But what are the ways that we also betray Jesus? That we let him down, that we turn against him, even some ways that we deny him in our lives. And it's a hard thing to look at, but it's an important thing to look at during Holy Week. This is the somber and sober time for us to give an account. And so, Penny, what are some of your thoughts on this?
Oh, goodness. Well, first of all, I think it's easy for us to paint Judas as the mustachioed villain of the Bible, right?
Yeah.
You know, just lurking around corners and, you know. But it isn't really until this part that we really see that evil come in. It says that Satan entered him, right? I got to say, one of the things that I love about the series, The Chosen, is that when Judas is introduced, he's, you know, wide-eyed, maybe a little bit naive.
Okay.
And as that series progresses even to where it is now, you know, he gets advice from people he knew before he knew Jesus, giving him kind of worldly advice that may have led him astray. I just think it's very telling for us to look at our own hearts, to look at our own sin. It's really easy for us to lean into the idea that grace has covered us and that we can look at everybody else's issues and we can say that they are the chief sinners, right? But if we're really thinking about it, anything that takes our allegiance from God can act as a sin, right? And that doesn't matter if it's money. In Judas's case, money was very much a catalyst throughout him walking with the Lord and actually being one of the disciples and taking money out of the purse. And, you know, we do have that documented.
He kept the money bag, right? Okay.
Kept the money bag, but was stealing out of the money bag. Also, you know, that was before he betrays Jesus, right? I don't know. I think in my own life, as I look at where my heart wants instant gratification, that's a really easy one for me. This Lenten season for me has really made me, rather than come to grips with my mortality, has really made me come to grips with my imperfections. The way that our church did Lent this year, we had an option to do it where there was a different thing. You would fast every week. Okay. Mm. So like, I think the first week it was fasting meat. And then the second week it was fasting screens. Mm. And each one of these, I started off like strong for about 3 days. And then something made it unbearably wantable for me to want the thing that I couldn't have. And the one that really got me was, I thought for this week, it was supposed to be fasting all drinks except for water.
Okay.
And I thought, I'm drinking like only water anyway. Like, this is going to be an easy one for me. Mm. Y'all, I got sick about 3 days in and had to start drinking Gatorade. Like,
wow.
And I realized that at the core of that, like, that's not necessarily a betrayal of Jesus, but how easy is it? It just made me realize that, like, whether it was sickness or whether it was just, man, I really want a burger and I know I shouldn't have one, but it's really not going to be that big of a deal.
Yeah.
I make those same compromises every single day in my walk with Jesus. Mm. And I hope dearly that here at 27, that's a struggle. I hope by 47, it's not nearly as bad. I hope that I become a more sanctified saint as time goes on. But it does. It breaks my heart to know that, you know, everything that I've seen Jesus do in my life, that I just fall on my face very frequently for, again, that those instant gratifications, those things that are going to make it better in the short term, not letting God take over and take me through that moment like I bend so easily.
Mm, thank you for sharing that and just your honesty in that. And I just want to share just really quickly that I feel like I have betrayed Jesus in times when I have just literally turned away in anger. And I've shared this part of my testimony when I went through a very difficult breakup in my early 40s, and then went through a very early menopause. Mm. And I knew, even as I was in perimenopause, I was telling my doctors this is what's happening, because they kept saying, it's a little early for you. It's a little early. I was thinking, this is my last chance to have a child. If this doesn't work out, I don't, you know, I probably won't have a child. And that turned out to be true. Mm-hmm. And that pushed me into a very deep depression and incredible anger at God. So in that anger and in my humanity, I know that God had patience with me. I know he understood where I was emotionally, but I was betraying him because I was saying, you're not good. You're not a good God. You're not loving. You're not an answerer of prayers. So I was basically rejecting who he was as God.
Mm.
And I see that now. I see that now. And I'm so grateful that he, you know, has given me, as time is going on, as you talk about, you get new perspectives and you have growth to say, I may not understand everything on the earth. There are people who have gone through much greater suffering than Tabby. And they don't understand. Why are they in prison for life without when they're innocent? Or why did someone get killed for their faith? Those people went through something intense, torture maybe. It's worse than my life.
Yeah.
But they still trusted God. Many of those martyrs still trusted God. So he's still good, whether you get your way or not in this life, whether you get everything you want in this life. He has a purpose and a plan. You may not understand it until later. You have to believe him. And as we said last night at the Ruche Corral, Colors of Grace, I will stay with Jesus. We're just talking about Spy Wednesday. This is today. This one of the words that they use to describe this Wednesday. And we're looking at our own lives. And I was sharing a personal story of just disappointment and how that caused me to turn. And for a significant amount of time, well, I'd say two or three years where I was just really cold in my heart towards God. A couple of you guys have commented back to me personally about that. And thank you so much for those words of encouragement.
Well, we want to talk for a minute for maybe you this holy season are feeling a little bit like Judas. Maybe you feel like your sin is too big. It is too far gone. it is too much. Maybe you have gone through a season of unbelief and you don't feel like you can reconcile that with who Jesus is. You feel like you've said no too many times. What do you think, Toby?
I want to say that God knows. He knows your heart, and he knows when you want to return to him, he is there with open arms. Time has not run out on you. While you are still alive, your story is still being written. So you can turn back to him, and you can repent, and you can give your life to him. And even, and you know, it's, we have all kinds of different perspectives on if you turn away and you stay away, then maybe you were never saved, or maybe what, you know, what's possible here. I don't have all the answers to that. I'm not even going to try to dive into that. But I do know if in your mind right now you want to come to Jesus, you can come to Jesus.
Amen.
That, let's just keep it simple.
That, you know what, Toby, that was a saving grace for me was to understand that, because I used to really struggle with every time I would find myself in a sin struggle, anytime I would find myself in a moment of disbelief, that I was just like, well, maybe I was never saved to begin with. Fabulous book, by the way, if you also struggle with that, J.D. Greer's Stop Asking Jesus Into Your Heart. Fabulous book. Really helped me out with that. Even as early as last year, I read that book, and it was still helpful in figuring that out. I was told by so many wonderful people that Angie Wynn is one that said she respects the struggle. You know, as we struggle our way back to Christ, as we, as we're making our way towards him, I struggled with perfection so badly, which was funny to me because I knew how imperfect my walk was, that I thought, how could that be the problem? But yeah, knowing how much God loves us in the midst of our struggles, he just wants you to come back. Please know that door is wide open. You've got to make the choice to walk through it. That door is wide open for you. And if you feel like you are somehow the worst sinner that can not possibly make it through, boy, do we have news for you.
Yeah, and it's good news. It's good news. Jesus died for you. You know, we have the story of the prodigal, which you can look at it from both sides. This amazingly gracious father who humbled himself to even run in a culture where you didn't do that, to run towards his son and to treat him so well when he comes back. But also this son that was allowed to come back after he had squandered and disrespected and rejected the honor of that house. Came back.
You remember in my devotional earlier, we were talking about how like the sign of the cross alone would have been such a symbol of shame, like in Jewish culture. It makes me think of that same thing of, you know, the father in the story of the prodigal son is undignified in how he runs to his son. And Jesus was undignified in how he died and came for us. Oh my goodness. I'm even getting excited about this, y'all. Easter makes me so excited for these reasons, because no matter where you are in your sin, you can really mourn that sin. You can mourn your nature that Jesus has come to rescue you from. You can do that Friday and Saturday all you want, but I hope you don't stay there. I hope you wake up Sunday morning knowing how deeply loved you are. So loved that he died for you, and now you get the opportunity to rise again when you accept him.
Amen. Thank you so much for that.